today on Living on Every Word.
Come, let us return to the Lord. He'll revive us after 2 days. He'll raise us up on the third day that we may live before Him. So let us press on to know the Lord. Let us press on. How do we press on? How do we move on with our God?
Do you feel tired, weary, or complacent in your pursuit of God? It's easy sometimes to get stuck in our faith, in our journey with God. Well, in today's study from Hosea, Pastor Mike Fritcher shares with us a strategy for moving forward in this study called How to Press On.
Living on Every Word.
If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to Hosea, Hosea chapter 6, Hosea chapter 6. I don't know where you are today in your faith. I don't know what's brought you here. I don't know if you're struggling with something in your faith, having a hard time believing God, that He is real. Maybe that's where you are right now. Or maybe you don't even know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, when Christ comes into your life, like we saw last week, He comes to do this work, and it's supposed to get better and better. The Bible says that our walk is to shine brighter and brighter till the dawning of the day. Bible says that we're to press on with maturity. That we're to move toward the perfection of Christ's likeness and what God has for us. We're not supposed to shrink back. Matter of fact, every time the writers of the New Testament warned of people falling away and falling backwards, He always would say, "We don't think that about you. We got great confidence about our great God in your life. That you're not going to lapse back into the way you responded before to life." We're supposed to live a radical life. We're supposed to turn the other cheek. We're not supposed to strike back, and we're not supposed to cuss back, and we're not supposed to speak back. We're to turn the other cheek. I know some of us don't like to hear that. None of us like to hear that. That's because that's what our flesh wants to do. Now, I don't know, again, where you are today. I don't know if you're on an upward move toward God or you're backsliding, like we talked a little bit last week, but in chapter 6, Hosea is speaking to a people who have started strong but have fallen away. And what he says in chapter 6, verse 1, "Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us, but He'll heal us. He has wounded us, but He will bandage us." Now, you know, I look at that verse of Scripture and I think, God wounded us? God did that? God tore us? Well, yeah. How many of you have ever disciplined your children? But we've also healed them. And you know, the Bible says in Hebrews that whom the Lord loves, He reproves. But when you look at this passage and you say, yeah, it is God that has allowed this to happen. It is He who has torn us. It is Him who heals us. It is He who has wounded us. And He's wanting to bandage us up. And the Scripture says He'll revive us after 2 days and He'll raise us up on the third day. Does that sound familiar? Sounds like the resurrection of Christ, doesn't it? When God wounded Him. When God tore Him. Bearing your sin and my sin. Revived Him. Raised on the third day. You have this thought that in the midst of my struggle, in the midst of my sin, in the midst of my heartache, there's this response from God to us. Hey, listen, just return to the Lord. Yeah, I've torn you, but I'm going to heal you. That's what's waiting for you, healing. Revival is waiting you. Why? In verse 2, He'll revive us after 2 days. He'll raise us up on the third day that we may live before Him. So let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord. His going forth is as certain as the dawn, and He will come to us like the rain, like the spring rain watering the earth. There's a lot of people that I come in contact with who have done a boatload of sinning and they knew better. And they're scared to death to come back to God because they don't think that God wants them back. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Every one of us has walked in deliberate sin. Knew it was wrong and we walked in it, Knew it was wrong to say, said it anyway. Knew it was wrong, did it anyway. Knew it was wrong, thought it anyway. All of us. And he's saying, come, return to me. Return to me. And you know, I think this is also to the lost person. Because every one of us knows that there's something missing in our life. And you as mankind needs to return to God. Lost it at the garden, find it today. But you got to be willing. When you're coming to Him, you have to be willing. You have to be willing to submit to that discipline. You have to be willing to submit to His Word and to His way. And you have to be willing to press in to know God. Let us press on. How do we press on? How do we move on with our God? You know, I think about last week, and as we spoke from 2 Timothy 3, where he speaks about people who are always learning but never coming to the truth. People who have a form of godliness but deny the power. Now, that power is the power of God. It comes from the indwelling and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It's the power to continue in the faith, to be conformed in His image, to love as He loved, to bless as He blessed, to bring healing as He healed, the power to forgive, the power to live godly, the power of Christ dwelling and increasing His love in your life. We are to press on. We are to lean into the hard times, the struggles, the disappointments, the hurt feelings, and we're to press on with this power of God in our lives. We're not to fall away by denying this power. That's not God's purpose for your life. It's not God's plan for your life. You're to press on to all that He has for you. Now, when you look at Scripture, it's just laced with these principles to press on. I mean, Hebrews 6:1, therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about Christ, let us press on to maturity. Philippians 3:14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Proverbs 4:18, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter until full day. 2 Corinthians 7:1, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We're to press on. That's what Christians are supposed to look like. Moving on in the faith. Listen, we are to move on. We are to press on. And if we deny the power of God and not press on by forgetting all the things that God does, then I want to suggest to you that today we're going to look at pressing on by remembering who we are in Christ and how we are to live because of who we are. We're to remember this. Who are you? Who are you, church? You are the church of the living God. You are the body of Jesus Christ. You are connected to Jesus Christ, the head. You are something special. You are something real, relevant, powerful, anointed. You are what God says you are if you are indeed in Christ. And you know, I think that we forget that. You know, I've heard often stories of young men when they're leaving home. You know, the dad sits them down, they're getting ready to leave home, and inevitably it is, hey, you got a name. Remember that name. Remember the integrity of the name that you have. Remember who you are. Remember where you've come from. Remember what we've taught you. We haven't been perfect, but we spent our lives, these 17, 18, 19 years, letting you know what this name lives by. And you go out in the world and you remember your name and you live according to it. Well, I see God doing the same thing. You got a name. You've got a name in Christ Jesus. You've got a character in Christ Jesus. You've got the character of God in your life, and you are to remember who you are. You are to remember what God says about you. Now, the first thing that I want to say is I've got to remember that I'm alive in Christ. You are alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, in Him. Now, go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Now, you know, when you read Paul's writings, they're always divided into two sections, usually. The first section, usually three or four chapters, really normally just three, he talks about who we are. And then he gets to chapters 4, 5, and 6 in these letters, and he says, this is how you're to act.
because of who you are. This is how you're supposed to behave. This is what the behavior looks like of somebody who's just been described. And so when he's talking to the Ephesians in chapter 2, he says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh. We indulged in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions," now watch, "He made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you've been saved." Now, I want to say this. This salvation by grace brings this life. You are alive in Christ because of the grace by which He saved you. You are made alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. He's talking about salvation. He's talking about your salvation and my salvation. Salvation is being alive with Christ Jesus. With Him. You have this whole thought of Christ being with you always. We always know that. But I want to tell you, if you always know that, you wouldn't do what you always do. If you always were aware of that. You are alive with Christ right now, this very moment. When you get in the car, you're alive with Christ. And whatever you choose to listen to, whatever you choose to walk in, whatever you choose to speak about, just remember, Christ is alive with you. You are alive in Christ. You got to remember that. You know what? It's just like we spoke of last week. If you're remembering these things at a point of temptation, at a point of trial and struggle, I want to tell you, you will move through the trial and you will move through the struggle victorious and not defeated. You're alive in Christ. And you know what alive in Christ people do? They live the abundant life. We're to live the abundant life. The scripture is Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." You're alive in Christ. What do you do with that? You live in Him. You do it. Remember that. Now, if you'll remember that, you will press on. Listen, the second thing that I want to just suggest to you is that you are dead to sin. You are dead to sin. The Bible says, actually in Ephesians, that you're alive to Christ and you're dead to sin. You're dead to the world. And that's just the nature of who we are. We are dead people now to sin. We were dead to God, alive to sin. Now we're alive in Christ, dead to sin. And in Romans chapter 6, go on and turn there. Romans chapter 6, verse 12. If I'm dead to sin, how am I supposed to live? I'm not to let sin into my life. I'm not to allow sin in my life and in my lifestyle. Chapter 6, verse 12. "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts." Let me ask you a question. Would God ask you to do something that you couldn't do? Would God ask you to do something that you could not do? And then, if you could not do it, do you not think that He would ask you to do something and then give you the power to do it? Because He says you're dead to sin. You're dead to sin. Matter of fact, He said it in verse 8, "You've died with Christ." You've died with Him. And you're dead to the things of this world. And you're dead to sin. And you're dead to these things. And so He says, listen, don't let sin reign in your mortal body so that you may obey its lusts. "And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as an instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead. And your members," that's your hands, that's your eyes, that's your ears, that's your heart, "as instruments of righteousness to God. Watch, for sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but you're under grace." Because you're under grace, the Bible says, sin has no dominion and power over you. You're dead to your sin.
And you know, if I will remember that, if I'll remember that in the heat of the moment that I'm dead to sin, I'm going to count on that. I can't look at this. I can't speak of this. I can't talk of this. I got to keep my mouth shut. Got to keep my eyes closed. Got to keep my ears shut. I do all those things. What am I doing? I am dead to sin, and I'm not going to present my eyes, and I'm not going to present my ears, and I'm not going to present my tongue, and I'm not going to present my hands to anything unrighteous. Why? Because I'm remembering, hey, I'm dead. I'm just a corpse. I'm just a corpse to that. Now, on the flip side of that, I'm alive in Christ, and I'm not just a corpse. But I'm presenting my eyes, and I'm presenting my ears, and I'm presenting my tongue, and I'm presenting my hands to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can all say that. That's what we want to do today. But remember the last time, maybe this week, maybe it was yesterday, maybe it was this morning, that you presented your eyes to sin. Were you thinking that you were alive in Christ? Were you thinking that you were dead to sin? Absolutely not. You weren't. Because I believe this is the strategy that God would have us to press on, to remember who we are, to remember how we're supposed to act, how we're supposed to live. Remember, you are alive in Christ, so live the abundant life. You are dead to sin, so don't let sin into your life. Don't let it reign. But also remember that you're God's child. Not only are you alive in Christ, you're a son and a daughter of the living God. And that's what Galatians 3:26 says. It says you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And if I'm a child of God, what does that mean? I got to act like a child of God. I got to live like a child of God. Talks about that in Ephesians chapter 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Bottom line. You're alive in Christ. Therefore, I live the life. You're dead to sin. I don't let sin into my life. I'm God's child. Then I want to act like God, my Father. I want to act just like Him. And then a fourth thing that we need to remember is that you're not only dead to sin, you're dead to the world. Paul said it in Galatians 6:14. He said, "But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." I'm crucified to the world, dead to it, dead to what the world says, to what the world thinks and how the world lives. If I'm dead to the world, how am I supposed to live? I'm supposed to avoid worldly things. Matter of fact, James chapter 4, verse 4 says, "You adulterers, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." That's a very powerful passage of Scripture. Because there are a lot of folks who want to be friends with the world. And he says, you know what? If you're a Christian and you want to walk with the world and you want to live their lifestyle, you want to be a friend of the world, you've made yourself an enemy of God. And do you wonder why you don't prosper in the faith? You know, you can go on and look at, you are light, walk as children light. You are free, walk in that freedom. You are secure in Christ, enjoy your security. You are in grace, grow in grace. The Bible says you're spirit gifted. The Bible says employ your gift. You are heirs in Christ. Keep adding to your inheritance. You are holy, lead a holy and blameless life. You are spirit filled, walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. We've got to remember who we are and how we're to act. All the time. All the time. You want to press on with God to know God? Remember. Don't forget. Remember who He is. The second thing that we talked about last week of folks not moving on is they walk in unbelief. And so if we want to move on, we've got to always be believing. You're a believer, so believe it. That's who you are. That's your nature. And there's a couple of areas that I want to talk to you about believing. The first is in the area of your stuff and your things. I know we talk about that a lot, but it's things that continue to come up in people's lives. It's a continual conversation about folks worrying about tomorrow. And you know, one of the most famous passages of scriptures on that is Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. And what's interesting, he comes off of verse 24 saying that you cannot serve God and wealth. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and you can't serve money. And for this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, nor do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the fields grow. They don't toil, they don't spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown in the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? You of little faith? You of little faith? I'm a believer. I'm a believer here. I'm going to believe in the provision and the power of God. And he says this is the cure of your anxiety. Not having little faith, but having faith in Christ to provide what he says he'll provide. Do not worry then, saying what we shall eat or what we'll drink or what we'll wear for clothing, for the Gentiles eagerly seek those things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But if you'll seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. How many of you are worrying about tomorrow? We've all got concerns about tomorrow. And yet we've not even finished the day. And if I remember to believe that, I'll be used today. And when tomorrow comes, it'll no longer be tomorrow, it'll be today. And I'm to put my faith in the living God to move me through that day for His glory, to provide everything that I need. And if I have my mind on food and clothes and things, I'm wasting my day for the kingdom of God. I've missed the spiritual things that God wants to do because I've had my eyes on the physical. You know, there's another passage of Scripture. Go to Matthew chapter 8. It's just a couple of pages forward. Verse 18. Now, when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to depart to the other side of the sea. And a scribe came and said to him, "Teacher, I'll follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "The foxes have holes, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And another of the disciples said to him, "Lord, permit me to first go bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Follow me and allow the dead to bury their own dead." And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm of the sea, so that the boat was being covered with the waves. But Jesus himself was asleep. And they came to him and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we're perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, you men of little faith?" Why are we afraid? Because we're about to die. That's why we're afraid. And you're in this boat, and another translation says, you don't even care that we're perishing. God, you don't even care that I'm going through this with my child. God, you don't even care that I'm going through this with my spouse. You don't even care that I'm going through this with my job. You don't even care that I'm struggling with these things. It just seems like, God, you're asleep at the helm. Where are you, God? God raises up and says, "Be still, storm." Looks at him. "Why are you so afraid? Why are you so concerned?" "Because I'm God, and even if I'm sleeping right now, or you think I'm sleeping, I can do a whole lot in my sleep. I can do a whole lot. Just trust me. I'm in the boat with you. I'm right there with you. And I might have my eyes shut, or it might seem that to you, but I'm here. Believe me. Believe me." Some of us need to believe again. Some of us need to believe for today what God has for us today. Faith will always cause you to move on with God. It will always, always propel you. It will always spur you on to the good things of our great God. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? Remembering who we are and believing who we are. And not just believing in who we are, but believing God, period. Not so concerned about all the troubles and all the stuff around us, but to keep our eyes on Jesus, fixed upon Him. How do we press on in the faith? We remember. We remember. And we believe. I want to ask, church, are you remembering? Are you remembering who you are? Are you remembering what Christ has done? Are you believing? Are you believing in the God that got you this far? God will bring you home. Church, believer, you are a believer in Christ. Is that right? Then believe. That's what believers do. They believe the Word. They believe God. Believe that He helps you in your weakness. Believe that you've got two prayer partners, the Holy Spirit and Jesus. Believe that all things are working out for your good. Make sure you're loving God. Make sure you're called to His purpose. But I'll tell you, that promise is for you today. Believe that if God's for you, who could be against you? Believe that nothing shall separate you from the love of Christ. Nothing. Believe that in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer in the name of Jesus. Believe it today. Church, you are alive in Christ. You are alive. So live the abundant life. Go live it. Quit submitting your life to things that bring devastation and destruction. Because you're dead to sin. And if you're dead to sin, then quit presenting your body to sin. Quit presenting your life to the things of sin. You're God's child, sons and daughters. Well, act like it. Imitate Him as a beloved child. Walk in love. The same kind of love that drove Christ to the cross. You're dead to the world. Paul said, "May it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world." You're dead to the world. Avoid worldly things. Avoid them. Church, you're light. Walk as children of the light. You're free. Walk in that freedom. You're secure in Christ. Enjoy your security. You're in grace. Grow in it. You're spirit gifted. Employ your gift. You're heirs in Christ. Keep adding to that inheritance. The Bible calls you holy. Lead a holy and blameless life. You're Spirit-filled. Walk by the Spirit. Believe. This is who you are in Christ. And allow the power of God to make you that kind of witness. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you'd birth within us a faith to believe. For everything, God. I mean for everything. God, you're so faithful. You're so alive. You're so real. God, you're so good. And we praise you today. Father, I want to ask, Lord, if there's somebody in here that's just living in sin and struggling with worry or anxiety or with lust or with anger, that today would be the day they'd remember. That, Father, we would be like that we would heed the admonition of Hosea. Come, let us return to the Lord. Come, let us press on to know Him, because He's here, and He will come to us like the spring rain. Oh God, would You move in a mighty way in our hearts and lives? I pray that You would take the Word, the specific Word that You've spoken to us today, and Father, we'd carry it with us. We'd carry it in our heart. We'd meditate on it. We'd live it today. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Mike Fritcher is the pastor of Cottonwood Baptist Church near Dublin, Texas. If you would like to hear this broadcast or any other sermons from our audio library, or if you feel led to support this ministry, please visit us online at livingoneveryword.org.